Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Do the show, bitch.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
I know you fat bastards want to eat some of this.
With Ben Higgins.
Go to hell, pro sports.
Steven Woods.
That was incredible.
And Paul Reindel.
All right.
Get ready, tier ones.
Oh.
It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Do the show, bitch.
He's doing it again, Paul. He's forcing his topics upon us. You're like a deviant with this forcing.
Did you not see this yesterday?
No.
We had it on the news. People were tweeting about it.
You pitched this, by the way, on... It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. We're halfway home on a Tuesday. So Friday, we're on the show Friday. We had a great show Friday. Phenomenal. Ben says to Paul in about the, what, about the 8 o'clock hour on Friday?
Yeah.
Says,
run around now.
Hey, if you need an extra story for the Reindel Report, you should do this NASA story. When I hear space stories, I'm an auto power down. I mean, I'm just like, it's air out of my tire. I could not care
less. Who doesn't like stories about space?
We have people sleeping on the streets. Let's worry about them first before, let's go check out this astronaut. Like, I don't care. I don't care. We have enough problems here on this
planet.
But
this is an actual, like, problem-solving mission.
So you said Friday. No, Woodsy. It's like Armageddon. They're going to shoot something into an asteroid and break it.
They did yesterday.
It's fantastic.
NASA, they did the countdown to impact.
I saw it on Deep Impact, and I saw it on Armageddon.
So basically...
So hold on. Friday, you said you should do that story. Pauly, he's like, uh-huh. He neck-effed you a little bit. Oh, yeah, sure. Yep, okay, sounds good. And he didn't do it. Yesterday, you brought it up. And now for the third day in a row, you've now, hey, did we ever do that story?
I can't believe you don't think this is cool. They had like a spacecraft the size of a refrigerator going 15,000 miles an hour, crashing into a big rock the size of like the Great Pyramid of Giza to see if they could actually like deflect it. So if there was one day an Armageddon-style asteroid heading to Earth, could we like deflect it off course in time to save the planet?
Would we want to? At this point, would we really want to?
It's like the real life Don't Look Up, that movie with...
Yeah, you're like all the people in that movie, Don't Look Up.
What is that?
You didn't see that one?
Movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. And they're like, oh, yeah, this big...
He discovers the asteroid, but no one wants to believe him, and it turns into this giant...
I missed that entirely.
Yeah, it turns
pandemic.
Into
this
entire debate.
It was like this year.
Was it this year?
Yeah. Which, I guess, is pandemic, but...
Yeah.
So then so DART stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test.
He goes on the news and he's like, no, what is wrong with you people?
He's just looking,
there is an asteroid. We are all going to die. And
everyone's like, I'm good.
Whatever.
It's kind of how I feel.
Which I'm the same. This isn't a news station. I saw a tweet like, I feel like we're on the verge of nuclear war and nobody's really talking about it. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? Whatever's going to happen.
Whatever happens, what am I going to do at this point?
I can't stop anything. It's kind of where I'm
at. Just to be clear, this asteroid was not heading at Earth. They just want to see whether or not they can move one in space. And they'll have to let it travel a little bit to determine whether or not they've deflected it off course, or if the spacecraft did absolutely nothing and it continued on its trajectory. And if that case, then we might be in trouble if there was an asteroid headed at Earth.
So what happened?
Well, they slammed into it at the proper speed. NASA did the countdown. They had, like, the camera going right into the thing, and then it was, you know, went blurry black because it crashed.
Right.
And they cheered, and they were happy about it. And now we wait to find out whether or not it was effective, whether it moved the asteroid off course. No, you have to calculate trajectory. You need it. Didn't you watch these movies? You need to let it. You need to let it travel for a while to see if it's changed its course enough to, like, miss Earth, whether it was going to hit Earth or not, to change the trajectory enough. The funny thing is, when you Google DART mission and it comes up, the Google page gets deflected a little bit, so it's like askew, like they're being very clever because they deflected it off course. You have no interest whatsoever in this. I can't believe I'm the only one in this room that finds this unbelievably fascinating.
I mean,
the story from yesterday.
I've never been, I watched the Challenger explode live on television when I was in second grade. So maybe that's effed up the space program for me.
Man, this was unmanned. No one was going to die. It was just an unmanned spacecraft.
Fourth grade or second grade? One of the two.
I feel like it was more like fourth or fifth because I remember it as well.
Yeah. I watched that live and I went, well, that sucked. I don't want to do that again. So I don't like space movies. They give me anxiety. People getting stranded in space. I have no interest. Zero in the space program.
Space freaks me out.
In the space program whatsoever. None. I don't like to look at the stars or the planets.
You never wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh, my God. I couldn't have wanted to be anything less than an astronaut. Honestly. I'd rather busk on the street with my guitar than be an astronaut. It's a true story. Much rather. Much more pleasurable for me. I've never been into it. Never been into it at all. And the space race and everything else, call me whatever you want. It's like how I feel about Steely Dan. I'm not going to budge on it. You know, it's just not an interest. It's not interest to me.
You're more interested in serial killers than the space race.
I would say, yeah. I do feel lately that we've gotten a little bit out of control with our love of true crime and things, but I find myself getting sucked in, you know, every now and again. And there's this new show on Netflix about Jeffrey Dahmer. It's a biopic, a docu-series or whatever they call it. It's just a movie. It's a movie they made about Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's a series.
Series, yeah.
10 episodes, I think.
So I put it on over the weekend. And I watched about 15 minutes before.
Does everyone remember Jeffrey Dahmer,
yes,
the serial
killer?
Yes,
everybody knows Jeffrey Dahmer. Yes, absolutely.
Like a real-life Hannibal Lecter sort of thing.
It was very it was one of the most disturbing stories I'd ever come across.
There's like a new OJ series or drama series like every few years.
Yeah.
There was like Zac Efron was Ted Bundy a couple years ago
on a Netflix movie. Yep.
I'm watching the first episode of Dahmer, and I turn to my wife and I go, he's on the Mount Rushmore of worst humans a lot, like to ever grace the planet, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a documentary about him, and it was weird because I watched the documentary about him and I go, like an idiot, I found myself like, oh, man, I actually feel kind of bad for the – right? Like, that's what happens sometimes. But then I watched –
They humanize
this monster. And I'm watching this docu – or this series on Netflix. And I made it about 15 minutes. And I went, my skin is crawling. I was also – my kids were asleep. Hannah was out of town. I was alone in my room watching it.
You're a little scared.
I go, I don't like this. This is not giving me good feels at all. So then I woke up the next day and I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw all of this, I guess, blowback. All of this, like it was the first time they'd ever made a series about a serial killer. This happens all the time. And I wondered, now Paulie brought to my attention, there was a guy that, what does he do? He's like a senator or something, or like some elected official was like, well, actually, that guy was my cousin, and it's been very hard for us to watch this series. And
no, it was just it's a writer,
a writer,
follow,
a writer, a writer.
And
yeah,
his brother was one of the guys. Victims,
yeah,
and he, I read a little bit of his story, but he goes, "Here's my story on what it's been like to watch this show, including like my testimony from the trial
from an actor,
right? Like how was it done and all that." I think the biggest outrage that I've seen, because, like, yeah, like you said, people, you know the story. Like, you know what happened. Either watch it or don't. Like, you know who Jeffrey Dahmer was. The outrage is that a lot of the victims' families, like, weren't asked if they were okay with this, and they all pretty much universally have had a problem. Like, they're like, stop publicizing this. Like, just let it go. Stop. And everyone's like, hey, like, Netflix is profiting off of these families, you know, horrible traumatic stories, and they're not getting for it. I think that's been the most outrage
so
that I've seen.
Is it money? Does it really boil down to money, or does it boil down to, like, for example, if it were me, if I lost a victim to Jeffrey Dahmer in my family, my brother, my, you know, whatever, friend, you know what? I wouldn't watch. There's no way I could watch. I would have zero interest.
Would you have an issue with a company like Netflix or Hulu or HBO Max making a another documentary
movie
series and making a ton of money off of it and doing that off of your personal traumatic story?
I've never. It's so hard to answer that question.
I can't relate.
Because I can't relate. I
mean, how is it different than making a documentary about Pearl Harbor or,
right,
you know,
honestly, anything.
Nazi,
like,
concentration camps. I mean,
right,
it's, you know,
right,
those are important,
those,
historical.
Like, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's a movie at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. I'm a very sympathetic guy. I just wouldn't subject myself to reliving that. But I know full well, if I'm involved in a story of that magnitude that was that disturbing, what do I think? It's just going to go away? It's not. I mean, like, did the Kennedy family get mad at Oliver Stone for making JFK? It's an important part of history.
I mean, maybe privately they were a little, you know, upset about it. But
I just don't know.
If your great-grandfather was killed at Pearl Harbor, are you mad at Ben Affleck that, you know, made a Pearl Harbor movie?
Right.
I mean,
right,
any of these things, I guess, are fair game if that's what we're saying, that if you were hurt by something that happened in real life, then no one should ever be able to make a story about it or talk about it. I don't think so.
I just don't know. But I have seen so much, and maybe it's because it's because they did such an accurate job. I mean, I had to turn it off.
It's super creepy.
I heard it's awful.
Here's a tweet that I saw, a little thread. It's got like 40,000 likes, and this woman, Courtney, just writes, "Can everyone please stop streaming the new Jeffrey Dahmer documentary? The victims' families have made it clear they do not want this out. Netflix is profiting off of their trauma without consent. People in this thread are acting like this movie is the only movie out there. My point is, there's already a ton of info on this case. Why do we need another movie, and why aren't victims' families being paid? And why isn't Netflix donating towards charities with profits to prevent this? My concern is companies exploiting victims' stories to make profit. If Netflix cared about history not repeating itself, at least some profit should be donated to charities and victims' families."
Now, I haven't watched it, but I'm assuming they're not glorifying
serial
killing, right?
No,
it's still horrific.
Not. It's horrific.
I mean, that's
the guy is like dead on.
They're not trying to make you humanize Jeffrey Dahmer. Like,
they're not.
They're not painting him out to be anything more than what he was, which is
a real,
like,
the worst
type of
creep.
Human being.
I don't know what's right anymore. I don't know what's right. What's that to me? When I saw Dahmer pop up, I went, "Oh, they're going to tell the Jeffrey Dahmer story, just like they're telling the Mike Tyson story right now on Hulu with a docuseries. It's terrible." Just like they're telling this, all the stuff we just listed. I mean, it never ends. I mean, it really, really never ends. Now, I've never subscribed to the, hey, let's stop posting, you know, school shooters' names because it glorifies their act. Like, I've never subscribed to sweep it under the rug and just turn your head away from it and don't give them any publicity. I've never subscribed to that. because while I do understand the human condition, sometimes we'll be too copycat and things like that. To me, it's a story. It happened. It's out there. You made a movie about it, which, by the way, that's pretty standard fare to make a movie about things that have happened in history. So I'm not going to say I'm surprised by the blowback. I'm just going to say I don't really understand it. And if it really is about money, then, you know, that's a different story entirely. That's just my perspective. I don't know that I'll go back and watch it. But it won't be, Paulie, because I feel bad. Because this happened. Like, this is a thing that happened, and they made a movie about it, which is pretty much how I've lived most of my life.
I mean, if you don't like it, ultimately, don't watch. Is probably the best piece of advice we can give.
And
you.
I mean, if something happened to one of my kids or something, they made it, like, I'm not watching it. There's no way. There's no chance. Don't you guys feel like, though, you know why the family didn't sign off on it? Because they never would. They never would. That's why, you know, the victim's family, like, they're never going to say, yes, let's make this film. I feel that it's important. Good example. Bo and I were watching Perfect Storm over the weekend. He loves it. Thinks it's fantastic. So I showed him, I went to Google, and I showed him the real Billy Tyne, the real cast, or the real guys from the Andrea Gale, you know, Sully and Bobby and Billy Tyne, and I said, this is the real boat, and these are the real guys. And then I started reading, because I go down the rabbit holes, and I guess Billy Tyne's wife was mad, because in the movie, he didn't really have an attraction to the other lady that was also a fisherman. So she sued, because that was, and I'm just sitting here going, what are we doing here? It's a film. It's a movie. It's not a documentary about the Andrea Gale. It's a movie. It's going to be dramatized for the big screen.
Ultimately, something that we all need to work on in this country is media literacy and knowing
Correct.
The difference between truth and fiction, you know, a movie and a documentary, and really understanding, you know, some things are for entertainment, some things are for information, and we really should be very clear which is which. This is a movie, you know, about Jeffrey Dahmer based on, you know, his real life story,
the
but
events,
it is a
yeah.
movie, and, you know, that's it's freedom of speech. It's their right to make a movie about something that happened.
Yeah, and it's everybody's right not to watch
exactly.
it as well. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
All right, this segment of Ben Woods is brought to you by the Golf Mart. Now, it's funny that we got two Netflix documentaries at the same time to talk about, the Nolan Ryan, Chasing Nolan, and
yeah.
now Dahmer. I know Paulie has a little audio to see if we can tell which is which. Seems like it would be pretty easy, right?
You would think.
You would think. Wouldn't be that hard. Trickier than you might think. So we'll get to that, and then Jesse Agler is going to join us at the bottom of the hour talking about the final homestand for the San Diego Padres that begins tonight at Petco Park at 6:40 with the Dodgers in town. Looking forward to it. Don't go anywhere. Ben and Woods back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tune in to Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. as former NFL MVP Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti discuss the biggest NFL news and preview the most important games of the week right here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, it's possible that this was funnier at 5:50 a.m., but it seems so appropriate.
Well, we did laugh, but now I feel bad.
We were like just...
Some of these families are going to
hilariously laughing this morning because we were talking about the Nolan Ryan documentary on Netflix...
Facing Nolan. I said chasing earlier.
Facing Nolan.
Chasing Mavericks.
And then, Facing Nolan. And then you were talking about the Dahmer, the Netflix series on Jeffrey Dahmer. And I realized after watching Nolan...
Idiots. Bunch of idiots
there was
we are.
A little more crossover than you would have thought.
We are idiots.
Between the two... The two series on Netflix.
I don't want to do this. We are idiots. We apologize in advance.
All right, go ahead and play a little bit of the audio.
Dahmer or Nolan.
All right, it's time for today. America's favorite game. Dahmer or Nolan.
That audio. I hate this so much.
This started, I was going through the... Facing Ryan trailer to see if there's any...
Chasing Ryan.
No, Facing Ryan. Facing no, you
Ryan. Now you get me confused. I was going through the Facing Ryan documentary
facing
trailer.
Dahmer. Facing Dahmer. Chasing Dahmer. Chasing Dahmer, Facing Ryan.
Ryan, a monster. But I was listening to some of the audio in the trailer, and I go... And we started listening, we're like...
Is that...
It kind of sounds like...
This...
I'm getting so caught up in all these documentaries starting to blend together. So I will play you a clip.
I hate this.
And all you have to do is just tell me which documentary it was from.
Did you like scaring people?
I used it to my advantage when I could.
Now, you know it's Nolan Ryan.
Because you can hear his accent.
Yeah, I used it to my advantage when I could.
Sounds like Bad Blake.
It's funny. What did he say? He didn't even like himself when he was on the mound.
My favorite line. He goes, the narrator said it, but basically the quote was, "I didn't even like myself when I walked in between the white lines." He hated himself. He was such a competitor.
I mean, everyone really seemed to really loathe facing him.
Yeah. No one was comfortable. No one. Pete Rose was like, this sucks.
Dude. Dave Winfield. Winfield. All of them.
Rod Carew, who had like a billion hits, was like, I hated it because I knew I was going 0 for 4. I'm like, Rod Carew knew he was going 0 for 4. Incredible.
Well, that was- With that mindset, you're going to hit some people?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Dahmer?
Dahmer.
Or Nolan. Or Nolan.
Oh, I really like cooking pork chops.
God.
He's more of a cattle man. No,
he is.
I think that was
so much pig.
Yeah.
You been drinking tonight?
Oh, I just had a couple beers.
Dahmer or Nolan?
I hate this.
This one might be the toughest one.
He drilled a guy in a rib cage.
All right, Paul, that is over. That is over the line. We're going to get a C&D.
That
later.
Was former President George Bush, I believe.
From
if he ended up in the Dahmer documentary,
yeah,
that
yeah, problem.
Would really be weird.
I hate this.
Well, you know, I had that meat that went bad.
Nolan Ryan.
That could be Nolan.
Cattle red.
He was. There was a whole scene of him like. Separating cattle.
Yeah, cut it. Caper it. Cut it. Cape. Cut it.
I mean, he like Madison Bumgarner in that he's
a literal
cowboy. He liked being a cowboy maybe more than being a baseball player.
Dude, by far. I wanted to pitch for 4 years so I could get a pension.
He used to carry his like veterinarian books on the road.
He's studying.
Studying for life after baseball. Then he ended up pitching 30 years, you know. You can go to NolanRyanBeef.com and order literal steaks from Nolan Ryan's cattle. Merry Christmas,
I actually trust
Ben.
That they would be pretty
I bet
good.
It would be fantastic. If I knew how to grill, I would get it.
When I went down, I was on the bottom of the pile, and I was laying face first into the dirt. It was one of the scariest moments of my life.
That was from the Robin Ventura scene, which I thought was fascinating because they showed that the White Sox talked about how there was a bounty on Nolan, that anyone who got hit had to charge the mound or they were going to get fined $500.
I would have paid the $500.
And so as you see it with that context, you see Robin Ventura start going out to the mound and kind of he's going out there because he doesn't want to get fined and look bad with his teammates, but he wasn't truly angry and committed.
No.
And he goes and he's hesitant, and that's why Nolan's able to get him in the headlock and start wailing on him. And, I mean, it's one of the most famous fights in baseball history.
How about the fact that Ventura got ejected? Nolan did not. He did not. He beat the crap out of a man in the middle of the field, stayed in the game.
Yes, and he was out there. He retired 12 of the next 13 batters he faced.
It's funny. Like,
what a legend.
Obviously, that would not fly now. If
you
are involved in a brawl.
You're out.
In any sort of capacity.
Hey,
like,
he ran at me.
But also, like, just... like the letter of the law, like what is he supposed to do?
If
someone's coming at you,
and you get charged. Like,
yeah, what's the rule? Like, hey, I want to continue to pitch today. Do I have to run away from this guy?
Yeah, what?
Juke him? Don't let him touch me.
Just curl up
like flag football,
get in the fetal position on the mound, and
just let him hammer you.
And obviously, this is a documentary that was produced, made by Nolan and his family. So. You're not going to get every story, but they interviewed, I mean, everyone, maybe too many people. They got the public address announcer in Texas.
No,
I mean,
great,
they
though.
Must have interviewed 50 people.
Why do you hate PA guys?
I don't hate them, but you probably was a little overkill on the interviews. The one person they didn't get, and they made a big deal of it, put a screen up.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Ventura refused to be interviewed for this documentary.
Of course he did. I bet you he is sick and tired. No one's like, I'm surprised they still ask me about it. I'm like, are you? You beat a man. In the middle of the baseball diamond.
I mean, was it his son that talks about, like, that was everywhere. It was the photo was in every bar.
Every bar, yeah.
Like, it was like a rallying cry for
people. Never seen
anything
like it. I've never seen a baseball. Well, the Odor Bautista punch was pretty damn good. That was a pretty damn good one.
But that was like a one hit.
It was a one hit. Just whack.
He puts him in a headlock and just repeated.
I bet Jesse Agler has some Nolan Ryan thoughts.
I bet he does.
He always has some good stuff. He's going to join us through the Incorporator when we come back as the Padres get ready to open their final homestand tonight. Talk to the voice of the Padres when Ben Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I don't think we're going to play Nolan or Dahmer again, though. It's probably a one-time only deal.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you ever really get enough of 97.3 The Fan? Catch up on anything you missed with our show, with Coach John Quintero, or the Gwynn and Chris podcast right now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Last homestand, last couple of Tuesdays of the regular season, although certainly our fingers crossed that there may be some Tuesdays in October, at least one or two of them for Jesse Agler. He will join us after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, now we go to our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. It is Tuesday. That means we are joined by the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler. Good morning, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, guys.
You know, I was
hello.
I was talking to Woods yesterday about how your TV colleagues, Mud and Don, are counting the days down, because once the regular season is over, their broadcasts are concluded. Yet you and Tony will go on as long as the Padres season goes on. We have games here on 97.3 The Fan. But I don't know. To me, it's like it's extra work for you, but that's kind of the best kind of work.
It's the best kind of work, yeah.
I'd feel kind of gypped if I was Mud and Don and didn't get to keep going after the season was over.
No, I mean, this is definitely one of the perks of doing the games on the radio. I mean, one of the big perks, maybe the biggest perk. It has to be the biggest perk. You know, we're with the team the rest of the way. And it is very, very exciting. You know, Tony hasn't done a playoff game. The only ones I did were in 2020, which obviously is a little bit of an asterisk, right? Like the Cardinal series was in person, but there were no fans there. So while the games were big and felt big, it didn't necessarily feel the way it should have, because there was no 42, whatever thousand screaming people in Petco. And then the games went to Arlington against the Dodgers. We were doing it remotely in the booth at Petco while the Rays and Yankees were playing on the field. It was not a best case scenario. So, no, I know I can speak for Tony on this one. We're both very, very excited about the prospect of playoff baseball on the radio.
It's just nothing like it, man. There's nothing like playoff baseball. You know, we were talking earlier about how crappy the Pro Bowl is in football and how the All-Star game in baseball is clearly the best of the All-Star games. And for me, for my money, it just doesn't get any better than playoff baseball, and literally every pitch, every single pitch. When your team is in the field, I can't watch. I mean, my hands go over my eyes. When you're at the plate, it's like you get a little reprieve. You're like, hey, hopefully we do some damage, but we can't lose the game right here. But holy smokes, Jesse, how amped up are you going to be for game one? Should we get there? Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, very, very amped up. I mean, but, you know, and I'm amped up for tonight. I was amped up for the weekend in Colorado. Like, this is the time of year that you hope to be able to enjoy. And, you know, there have been very few September's slash October's in Padre history in which we've been able to be this dialed in this late into the season. And I hope folks are like appreciating that and enjoying it. And you're right, there's an element of like stress, and it's not actually fun because of how stressed out you are. Like that's definitely real, I think, from a fan perspective. But like, you know, there should also, I hope, be this appreciation for, we have not had a lot of September 27ths since 1969, in which there was extraordinarily meaningful baseball being played. And I feel very lucky to be around for this. I know most people do as well. Like, it's just, this is why you do it. And that will continue to be the case for as long as they go. This is why they play. This is why we follow. The whole thing is about the pursuit of the championship. Everybody wants Rob Manfred's piece of metal. That's what we're here to do. That's the reason for it. And like, whether you're a fan, a player, a broadcaster, like this is everything. This is why you sit there and watch a lame game against the Diamondbacks on July 24th, like, because it could lead to this. And so, yeah, I'm very, very fired up, and I know I'm not alone.
Well, actually, you say, I hope people are appreciating, you know, what they're getting. They're not. They're arguing about whether Ha-Sung Kim should move to center and where Tatis gets the best value. That's at least what I've seen on my Twitter wall, Jesse, but I digress. Pretty impressive series in Colorado, first game notwithstanding. You know, I tweeted, look, that was a terrible loss. You know, it got away from them. It was extra innings, whatever. I was really impressed with the way the guys came out and just willed their way to two more wins, outslugged, did everything right those next two games, which, again, not mathematically eliminated if you don't win them. But, again, there is must-win games as we've had all season.
Yeah, and not to go full contrarian on you, but actually, I mean, Tony and I were talking about it. I don't think the Friday game was that bad. Now, the result, obviously, was not a positive.
That's what I mean, the result.
They didn't play on Friday the way they had played all year in Denver, and going back to last year. They played like a normal, clean game. You know, now the bullpen gave it up. That's going to happen. You know, and thankfully for the Padres this year, it hasn't happened very often. But, you know, he and I kind of looked at each other after that game, and we were talking, and we're like, that was okay. You know, like, it didn't feel like all the other nightmare games there. You know, where, like, literally I would have bad dreams about them afterwards. It was like, okay, like they played fine. The bullpen gave it up. That's going to happen every now and again, and felt pretty good about going into Saturday and Sunday. And then, as you said, they played really good baseball on Saturday, Sunday. Kind of everything clicked all at once, and they took care of business against an inferior team. So Friday, in a weird way, was almost encouraging because they did play so much better in that game than they had in the other however many previous at Coors, which has really just been this house of horrors. So that was good. You know, it's a weird spot on the schedule right now moving forward, right? You got the magic number is down where it is. You got the nine games left. The Dodgers are here. I really don't know what to expect out of the Dodgers in this series. You know, they've now wrapped up everything they need to wrap up. That could lead to some, you know, different types of decisions, I guess, being made by Dave Roberts in terms of when to pull pitchers and starting lineups and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really curious how these next 3 days play out. I really don't know. And then, you know, you got two teams coming in with the White Sox and the Giants that if you need to, you should be able to take care of business against. And they're very, very well set up. Like you said, nothing is finalized. Nothing is done. Nothing is official. But they have put themselves in a pretty good position when you consider the sort of month-long lull that this team was in for much of the summer.
Jesse Agler with us. Jesse, let's talk about Manny Machado's late MVP push. Fueled a little bit by Paul Goldschmidt's late season swoon here over the past few weeks. We're all a little biased. Obviously, we love Manny, and we watch him every day. Can you give me your biased argument in favor of Manny, and then give me maybe your more objective slant on who you think will actually win?
My objective slant actually on who should win, I'm starting to think it is Manny. I really do, and that's obviously, again, you're right. I'm not coming from a totally objective place, but I think when you start digging into the numbers, beyond that, when you look at the position the team is in, beyond that, when you look at the rest of the lineup, I think it's as strong a case as you need to make. Now, whether that leads to him getting the votes, I don't know. I will say this. The people who vote on these awards, the writers, are far, far more sophisticated now than they were as recently as 7-8 years ago, and certainly for most of baseball history. For most of baseball history, if you were the MVP in August, you know, so long as you didn't go 0 for September, you were going to win it. You know, that was like people just kind of made up their minds and they said, oh, he's the MVP. And as you said, Goldschmidt has had a very quiet September. And I think people are starting to look around at all the MVP candidates, the guys with the Braves, the guys with the Dodgers, the guys, as we said, in St. Louis. And they're going, well, there's kind of two MVP guys in all of those lineups. And you look at Manny, and I know Juan Soto showed up, but it's for, what, 45 games at this point, something like that. And for most of that time, Soto has not been Soto. And, you know, you consider not only the overall stats for Manny, but the way he has put his team on his back all season long, where the Padres are in the standings, the fact that it looks like they're going to make the postseason. And you know, look, we'll see. A lot can change both ways in the next 9 days for all of these guys. But I am a firm believer that this is an extremely legitimate MVP campaign for Manny Machado. And I do hope that, you know, most of the voters did not make up their minds on August something and just sort of assume it was going to be Goldschmidt, who at that point was a Triple Crown candidate. And look, if he was going to win a Triple Crown, he's the MVP.
No brainer.
You know,
yeah.
We haven't seen, you know, I mean, Ducky Medwick was a long time ago in the National League. So, like, you know, it was absolutely his, but his to lose at the same time. And he has kind of stepped back. Manny's right up there. I got to tell you, I think he's got a legit shot at it. Again, we'll see about the sophistication of the voters. But I'm as hopeful on that front as I have been at any point this season.
You know what I'm most excited about? Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. We talked about it, touched on it briefly yesterday. Just how different playoff baseball is. How differently Bob Melvin will have to manage, you know, and a guy goes up, gives up three in the first, you're done. You're not going to grind through that. Like, it is throw everything and the kitchen sink at him. It's why, you know, I wanted to get your perspective on one little play that happened on Saturday night. I brought it up yesterday, too. The Trent Grisham catch in center field. Had a lot of consternation about Trent being in the lineup. He's scuffling. He's watching strike three a lot, you know, more than anybody in baseball. But defensively, he's great. I mean, the first step is phenomenal. The read is phenomenal. In the playoffs, how valuable, in your opinion, is having that guy on your squad, a guy that, you know, gap to gap, he's gonna try to get everything. He's probably gonna get damn close if he doesn't get it. And do you forfeit a little bit of offense in the playoffs for some defense like Trent's?
Well, it's extremely important, you know, first of all. But B, I would argue that it's probably not something you decide in a blanket manner,
right,
going into it. I think it's a day to day thing. I think part of it is who's on the mound. What ballpark are you in? His value in Denver is different than his value everywhere else,
huge,
because that place is so huge, right? So that's what was so big about that play the other day, is that, you know, it's the biggest outfield in baseball. So I think you have to factor everything in day to day. And to your point about, you know, managing differently and the way pitching changes will occur, all of these things are going to be fascinating to watch because, again, not counting 2020, we have a best of three in the first round. So, like, even more so, in that wild card series, are you going to have to be aggressive with your moves?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to, you just have so little margin for error, right? You lose two straight games, which every team has done it, you know, a million times this year. You're done. It's over. Goodbye. So, you know, I mean, in that series, you have to be even more aggressive. Then you go to the best of five, then a best of seven, then another best of seven in the World Series. So I think every day is a little bit different. Every series is a little bit different. You know, Trent's place in the lineup obviously will be, I think, evaluated on a truly day-to-day basis. If things start ticking up for him offensively, that obviously changes the calculus. If not, you know, you look at the matchup for that day, you look at the ballpark for that day, you even probably look at who's on the mound for the Padres. All right, is this more of a fly ball guy? Is it more of a ground ball guy? What stadium are we in? All those factors have to be considered. I really don't think there's any reason to go into the playoffs saying things like, all right, it's October, defense matters that much more. We got to make sure this guy is in this place and that guy is in that place. I really do think you take it day to day.
Last thing before the Incorporator, Jesse. Realistically, you're just trying to win games and make sure you get in. But there is that school of thought out there that the Padres would be better off as the sixth seed facing the Cardinals in the first round and then not the Dodgers in the second round. Where do you kind of come down on that?
I don't have like a real answer to this question. Like everybody else, it's been bouncing around my head really probably for the last like month. You know, we've talked about it a lot off the air. I know Tony has a very strong opinion. I know Dave Marcus has a very strong opinion, and those are opposite opinions. You can guess where they go. Mm-hmm. But the three of us have kicked it around a ton. I don't necessarily know where I fall in like wholeheartedly, but my gut is you don't screw with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's sort of my, you know, like the baseball gods are going to get you. You think you're clever. You think you want to get into a certain seed and all that kind of thing. So I think my mentality is, at least until you clinch a spot, certainly. Like, I don't think you can even really have this conversation until they clinch a spot. And if that happens with 6 games left, it's obviously very different than if it happens with 2 games left, right? But, you know, once you clinch a spot and you kind of look around, I think my brain or my heart maybe is saying to me, don't get cute. Don't get cute. You know, and maybe that's naive. Maybe with the, you know, way that front offices are so intellectually advanced this year, they're thinking differently than I am. But boy, having watched sports my entire life and yes, having a little bit of like a superstitious mind or whatever, my gut is you don't mess around with something like that. You go out, you try and win the games. Now, like I said, once you clinch a spot, if there's only a couple of days left, all right, that's one thing. But I wouldn't be putting my brain in that place, I think, although I'm not 100%.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It's a very, very honest answer.
All right, Jesse, it is time for the Incorporator, brought to you by Sinley Foods, 4665 El Cajon Boulevard, the Cook's Asian Resource. We got a voicemail from a Tier 1, and honestly, I think this one seems simple but could actually end up being kind of difficult. Here's our voicemail for you.
Hey, guys, here's a great one. The word is ekphrastic, spelled E-K-P-H-R-A-S-T-I-C. Ekphrastic is an adjective, and it means the skill of describing a thing with vivid detail. Ekphrastic. Piece of cake for Jesse.
Jesse.
Right. I mean, clearly what Jesse does is ekphrastic, but how does he actually work it into the game?
You can say, I am very ekphrastic, and that would kind of be a cop-out.
Welcome back. Top of the second inning. I'm Jesse Agler. I'm very ekphrastic.
Yeah, good to be here.
Alongside Tony Gwynn Jr.
That's why,
it is meta.
It's meta, and that's why I think it might actually
that one's free,
be
Jesse.
Challenging for Jesse. I mean, Paul gave that's you the good. Easy out, but...
Yeah, no, I'm not a self-promoter,
yeah,
though.
No, yeah, exactly.
That's very funny, and it is super meta. I like that. That's a really good word.
Ekphrastic, E-K-P-H-R-A-S-T-I-C. Ekphrastic.
Right. I've already thought of a couple of ways to kind of take an easy way out, but I'll see if I can make it a little more interesting.
All right, we'll be listening that's tonight.
Good. You're the man.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Jesse Agler on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. I was thinking as we were talking to Jesse, so Tuesday's his day to come on with us. Next week, next Tuesday, there'll just be 2 games left in the regular season. I would hope that the Padres have already clinched at that point. You know, maybe they still have a 1 magic number or something, but hopefully at that point they've clinched. But then 2 weeks from Tuesday, first round will already be done. Either they'll be starting the division series or season will be over. And, like, we may need an extra Jesse somewhere in there with the postseason. So I can't believe the playoffs start next week.
They don't.
They do.
They don't.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
No.
They don't. There's no way.
10 days from now.
There's no way.
Playoff baseball.
There's no way.
Yeah.
How many games have we played? 153. 153. Of these baseball games. It's coming down to this. Holy cow.
We're getting down to it, that's for sure.
The nitty gritty.
All right, tonight, 6:40 first pitch with Jesse and Tony and Dave Marcus.
So wait, what do you think that Tony...
Tony's like, you just got to win, put your head down. He's a ball player.
Put your head down.
He's like, you just got to win. You can't control where you are.
Dave Marcus
in the
does
standings.
Not want the Dodgers.
Dave Marcus is like... No, why would you not want to play the Cardinals?
Right.
A much worse team. And you want the Braves or the Mets and then the Dodgers? That would make no sense. That's what I'm thinking is the obvious two opinions there in the broadcast.
Dave just wants whatever has the nicer radio booth.
That's good.
That's
point.
True.
Yeah.
That is actually true.
All right, we got 1 hour left. Rindle Report coming up in our next segment. Stay tuned for more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.